Now we are.
Okay. If you remember the question, we're going to see more of this in Tough Run Bins. But how to avoid... making the water treif, right? So one answer was Eino Ben Yom. The second answer was Shishim, which was the Taz and the Nekudas and Kesef here. But Mishnah Brura Al Pi Achronim says not Mechatzila, just the Zera to avoid confusion. The third option is, this is going to be a big discussion, tough than big, there's a lot of wonders that we'll see if we have time to deal with. Due to the constraints of time at the end of the year, I'll probably only deal with great lumpish problems that I have answers to. But the where we left off, I apologize, that the yes. They point out here that the Torah says, even if you're kashering from milchik to fleshik or fleshik to milchik, again, nowadays we don't like to do that so much, so let's go back to the time we were shown in. There were no special talking about this, just even if you're kashering just fleshik or just milchik, you have to wait 24 hours. So here, they had a problem. Because if you're kashering just fleshik, then not bar not the hetera, meaning if Kli is not treif, but only bisari or halavi, then water, the water stays perif. Right? You shouldn't need to wait 24 hours before kashering a milchik kli or a fleshik kli. Because even if the water does get the taste of beer milk, it's not burnt out to hetera and it stays perif. Yet, what's the problem? The problem is that, but the Torah says, wait 24 hours. The Torah says, don't rely on Afar Nata et Tera. Wait 24 hours to make sure it's Eino Ben Yom with Nosan Tam with God. And that's what the Taz deals with. He says, what's so bad? Why do you have to wait 24 hours for milchically? This can happen sometimes. Let's say someone has a pyrid knife. They accidentally make it fleshic. Or a pyrid spoon, they accidentally make milk. They ask if they can kosher it. So the Torah says you have to tell them to wait 24 hours. Why not just be like, not burn out the tera? Of course. It's going to just make the water pyrid. It's not going to be any problem because it's not burn out the tera. So the Taz and the Bach give two explanations to the Torah as to why. The Taz says, because not burn out, we shouldn't cause lechachila. So therefore, we shouldn't rely on causing it lechachila. And the Bach says, a gzeira to make things simple. People might not remember the difference between Naparnat Isur and Naparnat Etera. Right? It might be hard to remember the difference between Treif and Fleishik and Milchik. Therefore, to make everything simple, we go by 24 hours. You sense the pattern by now. The Mishnah Brura later will endorse that. The Minhag Olam nowadays, Shalobash Asachak, Lechachila, if possible, we always wait 24 hours, even if it's Naparnat Etera, even if it's less than a 60th of the water. That way, it avoids all possible confusion. Okay, going on to Sif Gimel. Dina Gol Velivol in Ksuvim Behilchas Pesach. That actually sounds like he's saying absolutely nothing. In fact, he is passing a tremendous machlok for Shonen here with tremendous lumdus. But we're going to develop that when we get to Hilchas Pesach. Just you'll remember that what looked like he hadn't said anything in Sif Gimel actually says a lot. Dalit. You know what? Actually, I take that. Because this can be useful later. Dine Hagolah Belivan originally Hilchas Pesach. What he means is, you want to know all the rules of Hagolah Belivan, you can't learn them from your day. You have to go to Archaim. But there's something very important about that here. So it's not so poshut that the Dine of Hagolah Belivan should be written in Hilchas Pesach. According to many Mishonim, such as Bali Tosfos, the Dine of Hagolah Belivan should not be written in Hilchas Pesach. Why? Because the Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah makes a fundamental chiluk between Isura Bala and Hetera Bala. Between something that was a Balea Isser and something that was a Balea Heter. Obviously, when I say something Balea Heter, I mean something Balea orange juice. That's very nice. That's not all that significant. Obviously, I mean something Balea a Heter that has potential to have Isser within it that would have halachic nafkaminas down the line. Right? So what's the difference? The difference is that in Isur Bola, says the Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Vav, then Tashmisho Al Yedei Hamin, hot water needs Hagala. Tashmisho Al Yedei Ha'or, actually the proper dictum is that it's not the word or, which means light, but the word or, which means a fire. Tashmisho Al Yedei Ha'or needs Liban, right? We're all familiar with this. You don't have to learn halacha and smicha to know the difference between hagala and Liban, right? Things used for hot water eat hagala. Things used for barbecuing or baking or grilling, whatever, need Liban. That's for Isur Bala. However, Hetera Bala, they have a special kula. The special kula was, the Gemara asked there, it says in Masechta Avodah Zarah, talk about things that have to do with goyim. So trade kelim, buy kelim from a goy. The very end of the Masechta Avodah Zarah talks about two things. The Mishnayos mainly talk about, and the Gemara is mainly talking about kashrut kelim. Also, a little bit, a few lines in the Mishnah, and half an omen there talks about tevilas kelim. So it says, hashput v'ha'askalam v'lavdan, a spit and a grill. You have to do Liban, because they're used for barbecuing. Right, so this is, for example, the Gemara says treif. However, they bring a stira. It says in the Beis HaMikdash, the grills and the spits they used for roasting the karbanos. Mula magilon, you have to hagala. Why? Why in the Beis HaMikdash is enough to do hagala, and for treif kelim from the goyim you have to liban? So the answer is because treif from the goyim are isur bala. The spits and grills in the Beis HaMikdash are tera bala. What's the problem with something used for a karbon? The problem is it will become nosar, right? If you didn't cook nosar, chas v'shalom, what, are you going to eat nosar? You're a goy? No. You're a Russia? No. You roasted the karbonos when they were in the right time period, and you ate them and did a big mitzvah. However, the blia that's in the kelim tomorrow or the next day will be nosar. Will eventually be nosar. So that's a blia of heter, which has potential to become an isser. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that afilu tashmisho al yedei ha'or sagile behagala. Even if you use it for barbecuing or roasting, it's enough to do hagala, big kula. So, and what's the example? The example is kachim, which will become nosar. So even though in the end, the Gemara says, isn't it a Tera that turns into an Isser? Yes, but it started as Heter. The logic seems to be, although one could say differently, but I won't get into it now, the logic seems to be that if something's already Usser, it's a little like not Barnat. If something's already Usser, this is the simplest way, then it stays Usser until you kasher it legamrei. But if something's Mutter, then as long as you kasher it mostly and you weaken it, what's left is not enough to turn into an isser. What's left is, if it's mutter, and it's only a weak amount that's left, if all you pass for the barbecue, it still has only a weak blia left in it, that weak taste left in it is not chashuv enough to become nosar. Okay, now, one of the big machlokos in the Rishonim is, what about chametz? Is chametz a terebala or a surabala? I don't mean a non from Yid who eats chametz on Pesach. I mean our regular kitchen, we're kosher from Pesach. What would you think? A terebala or a surabala? You would think a terebala. It's much to eat chametz all year long. This is the opinion of Tosos and the Ravid, that chametz equals a terebala, and therefore there should be no dini hagolah v'libon k'suvim b'hilchas Pesach. Only dini hagolah should be in hilchas Pesach. You never need libon for Pesach according to Tosos and the Ravid. It's a great kula, no? You never need blowtorch, everything just hot water good enough. Unless why? Because it's a terebala. Unless it was used for chametz on Pesach. But that's not in our kitchen. That's you buy something from a non from Yid or from a guy, etc. But that's people who eat treif anyway, usually. Because always on Pesach probably eats treif anyway, so it's a terebala already. When we kasher for Pesach, you should never think leave one. It's a great kula. Right? We take our baking tins, right? And our toaster oven racks, and just kosher them for yourself with hagala. No problem. However, This is not meant to be an exhaustive list. The Ramban and the Rashba, and their Medayik, the Rif and the Rambam agree, because the Rif and the Rambam seem to bring down Liban in the context of Pesach, say no, Chametz, Shmo, Olav. They say no, Chametz is Yisur Bola. What do they call it? It's Yisur Bola. It wasn't Asur all year long. So they think, no, it doesn't mean Chametz was Asur all year long. It means that Kachim, it was Bolei Kachim, which are not yet Nosar. Only later they'll be Nosar. It's not Nosar yet. That's a terrible. Now it's an innocuous thing. Just later it could become Asur. Over here, Chametz was always Chametz. I know you're allowed to eat it all year long, but it was always, it's not going to turn into something else on Pesach. It's Chametz all year long. Basically, from a Lumdish perspective, this sounds like a Lumdish question that people ask in silly places that don't mean anything until you see that the Nachmina is all preparing for Pesach. If I already asked you the question, is someone have a sandwich? This is a sandwich, from what I did. Is this sandwich right now also eat on Pesach or not? That's basically the machlokes. What did the Rabban Rash say? This is already trade for Pesach. I know the Nachmina, Hichi Tinsa Pesach hasn't come yet. But this is already trade for Pesach. This is already Chametz steak. I already looked and say, ah, Chametz steak, gotta burn it, etc. Just in a little bit. But that's Yisur Bala. It already has the Yisur within it. I know the Hechi Tins of the Yisur hasn't applied. The Yisur is not practically relevant to me yet, but the Yisur is already in it. It's already Chametz steak for Pesach. And what would Tosfos on the right say? No, this is totally innocent. On Pesach, a new Chalos will happen to make it usher. But that's the machlokes. Tosfos says, now it's mutter. On Pesach, a new Isser will be chal on it. But right now it's heter. That could become usher. The Rabban Rash saying, no, shmo love. It's chametz all year long. Right now it's already usher. It's already chametz day for Pesach. It already has to be burnt on Yud Dalet. I know practically I have a bit of time. But the Isser is already there. That's in Shmo alone. The shame is already there. Some of the Achronim want to point out, because even all year long, it's Isser to bring on the Mizbeach, so that shows that it's already an Isser. Okay.
It seems like Kachim would be the same thing, though. Kachim, the food isn't changing. It's, we know for sure.
No, everyone agrees. Nosar
is.
Nosar is a new Isser that's called later. Nosar is a new Isser that's called later. We don't view, when you look at a carpet, you don't say, ah, that's no sir, but we have a little window. You say this regular kachim, it might become no sir later. When you look at chametz, that's the question. Do you say this innocent things? Who knows what will happen in the future? That's tosos. Or do you say, ah, this is chametz dick, it's OU without a P. We got to get rid of it before Pesach. I don't mean psychologically do you look at it. I mean halachically. Okay, we can analyze the lumdus from here till we don't have time to learn any halacha. But we won't this week. Lemaisa, this is a fundamental machlokes. How do we paskin? We paskin. Dine hagala v'liba k'suvim hilchas Pesach. We paskin the chametz is yisur bala. That it's already chametz. There's not an afkamina yet, but it's already chametz. I know it's a very lumdish sounding kind of thing. It's a very brisker thing, right? Is it already chametz with an afkamina, or is it not chametz yet? Okay, but that seems to be the machlokes.
Be already chametz with an afkamina.
Yeah, the Nachmina is also on Pesach, just not Pesach now.
Then it's not double sheishim latim.
Oh, so then there
isn't. This might affect the issue of double sheishim latim, but I'm not going to get into that now. However, the Maitzah will see in some places their mitzarif is a sniflahakel the day of heter bala. That's why it's important to note this. Now, another machlokas that will come up that I'll mention now is what about, right? I'll get a little. I won't get ahead of myself. We'll get to it soon. Okay. Dalit. Since the Dalit mach was shem etagim ba.
So what is the Machaber saying?
No, the Machaber just means to say that the din of Hagol and Levin are written in Hilchos Pesach. You'll know where to find them. But he's mentioning a very important psak here that. He wrote Hagol and Levin Hilchos Pesach. He passed his chametz as Yisur Bala. That's a very important thing to know. Right? If he had passed a Terah Bala, he would have said Dini Hagol Ksuvim Hilchos Pesach. And now we have to write all of Hilchos Levin, which I didn't write in Hilchos Pesach. Okay, he passed chametz as Yisur Bala, so Levin is already there. Dalit Machlas. Frying pan is a big machlokas. Why? We'll see. This gets very complicated. First, let's take it to the pshat level. We know. If you cook in boiling water, it needs hagol, which is more kal, more maker. If you bake dry, you need libud. It's very similar to when Shabbos, remember we had like bishul achar, fiyah, fiyah, achar, bishul.
What about frying? Frying is in between, right? It's in a little liquid, and it's not like a full layer of liquid and eventually gets dried up. Everyone knows if you fry things, you start with like oil in the pan, and then like the oil gets burnt, gets dry, burnt away, and then you add more oil, etc. Right? So what is frying like? So here is a fundamental focus between the Rush and Rabbeinu Yechiel. I don't mean these are the only Rishonim, but these are the most famous Rishonim. Frying. Rabbeinu Yechiel says it is like baking. Why? Yeah, you put oil in the pan, and then the oil gets dried up, and you're baking. It's like straight on the pan without any liquid. And the Rush says, like cooking.
What do you mean there's no liquid by baking?
By frying?
Yeah.
What I mean is you put oil in the pan, and then eventually the oil gets dried up and burnt away, and then you don't see the oil layer of oil anymore, and then you're baking. So he says every time you fry, you really start out with a little oil and end up baking.
It's a question of the Kamut, but
if I cook pasta, I never run out of water.
It depends what.
Ah, okay, so the mice, that's exactly what the Rush says to Rabbeinu Yechiel. The Rush says, but it could be also sometimes the water dries up, and we never heard you have to be choshish for that. Okay, how you feel the answer? I'm not getting to it now. That's exactly the Rush time is. The Rush says sometimes the cooking also dries up, and they say that's fine. In baking, it's dry the whole time. But you know, in frying, there's liquid there. Even if the liquid gets dried up, it's not dried up. It's still permeating the thing, and therefore there's a like a sheen of liquid, and therefore it's still like cooking. Well, mice is a big machlokas. To get to the bottom of it, it's very dachistic, I must admit. But a big machlokas have nafkamina is frying pans. How do you kasher frying pans? With hagala or with liban? By the way, nowadays that's a very big nafkamina whether you have to kasher frying pans with hagala or liban, because a lot of modern day frying pans will break if you do liban. Teflon coated ones, 100% Teflon burn off. But even regular frying pans, a lot of them are not strong enough to withstand liban. Hagala, almost anything can withstand hagala nowadays. So basically, according to the Rush, you can kasher a frying pan. According to Yechiel, you can't really kasher a frying pan. You have to throw in the garbage, like Eimah Lasot. Yes?
Well,
it plays
all frying the same, like with that deep fryer, the water.
No, I'm not talking about deep frying. I'm talking about frying. Deep frying, halakhically, is always like cooking, and here that's included. You know, it's a bit of a chiddush, but I'm not talking about deep. A deep fryer is a pot. I'm talking about a frying pan.
Can you say no, just that the difference is one is the medium through which you cook, and one is part of the ingredients you actually...
Okay, that's going to get complicated, as I'll show you in a moment. Okay, give me a second. Says the Mechaber, interesting hachra. What's the Mechaber's hachra? Machma shemetagnim ba, afi shal inyin chomim pesach v'day lo ha'golol, in yishar tzirin shikol lipon. Again, Ashkenazim is being more complicated in Hilchas Pesach. Now, I'm not passing Pesach, I'm passing treif. Says the Mechaber, even though in Hilchas Pesach, I'm making do hagol on your frying pans, again, Ashkenazim are a little more macher in Hilchas Pesach, but even though for Svardim you could do hagol on Pesach, and even for Ashkenazim, there's a tzad to say that, b'dieven me'ikra din, you know, there's some room to be makel for Pesach, but when it comes to treif, you need to leave it on your frying pan, which means a lot of modern big frying pans, just, they can't be saved if they become treif, you have to throw them in the garbage, because a lot of them, if you, will break if you do leave, but it's not worth wasting your time.
It's used if it's
made. So hold that thought for a second.
Also, why would we be more made by Hamid? So
okay, great question. So, first of all, let's get the Pesach. Machabas Isser, you need Liban. Okay, however, since it is Taka Bachlokas Rabbeinu Yechiel in the Rush, and there are many Rishonim who agree with the Rush, therefore, in real life cases, I'm not going to go through every real life case now, although Jason remembers one of them. Imagine in real life cases, if others thought in the Hakel, there's room to rely on the Rush. You know, depending on the judgment in every real life case, I think I might have mentioned before, based on other things we'll mention also, but like if it's Shiloh, cut onions with a milk knife and fry them in a flashing frying pan, we have other stuff in the Hakel, then Nira to be so much on Hagolah on the Rush against this Mechaber, because this Mechaber is talking a regular case. So, how good of a Talmud Hakel does it have to be? Okay, you have to worry about each case, you have to ask someone who knows how to paskin. But Lemaisa, the basic rule is, if you treif up a frying pan, treif lemahadrin, treif gummer, mamish treif, you make sausage, treif sausage in it, whatever, then it needs liban. If there are other Talmud Hakel, sarachian, you know, each case has to be judged. Now the question is why? Are we always more machmir in Pesach because of Chumrah de Pesach? Why are we all of a sudden more machmir here? So here there are two theories, right? The question isn't why we're machmir like Rabbi Yechiel. Whatever! Sometimes you pass like once, Rishon, sometimes you pass like the other Rishon. You can't necessarily, you don't need a reason why you pass like one Rishon as the other. You pass in one way. The question is why are we more machmir here and make it on Hilchos Pesach? And here there are two fundamentally different hesberim. Why do we say in Treif you need Libon, but in Chametz it's enough to do Hagala, especially since we often take the opposite approach. So one shot is based on what we just said. This is the Taz and this is the Shach in his number one, his first shot. He says very passionate in Treif you don't have another tzad lahakel, someone, and you buy a frying pan from a guy, you have to leave one. But over here, you're mitzaref the rush, plus the manda amar the chametz is a tirabala. According to the rush, frying is like cooking, you only need hagala. And even according to Rabbi Yechiel, that it's like baking, there's a manda amar that baking influence for Pesach hagala is good enough. We don't hold like that manda amar alone. If you bake bread, you couldn't do hagala with that tray. We don't hold like the rush alone. If you cook treif in a frying pan, it needs liba, but you have two stagim lahakel. Maybe it's like cooking, even if it's like baking, maybe it's a terabel or makel. That is the main, I should say, the more popular, more common shot in this hakar the machaber. However, the shot quotes of the Rami Kano, Rami Nachman Zarin Kano, he's a big posek who doesn't come all the time to show up once in a while. I think if you learn Kabbalah, he comes up even more. Does our Rami Kano come up a lot? Okay, great. The Ramami Kano says a different shot. He says that, there's nothing with a tirbola and tirbola. It has to do with the difference, and here's the big fish, the difference between baking and cooking. What's the difference between baking treif and cooking treif? What's the difference between roasting a treif chicken and cooking treif chicken soup? What's the difference between barbecuing a treif hamburger and cooking treif meatballs? So we would think one is a stronger heat because it's not mediated through the liquid, and one is a heat that's mediated through the liquid. But he says no. What does he say? He says, you know what the difference is between Liban and Hagalah? When I rotisserie a treif chicken or I barbecue a treif hamburger, how does the taste get into my kli? Straight from the meat to my kli. When I cook treif chicken soup or cook treif meatballs, how does the taste get into my kli? Through the water. It has an additional step in between. So what does he say? He says, you know what we say when it comes to frying? He says, in treif, they use treif oils to fry in. What are they going to fry in the old days? I'm not talking about when they're health conscious. What they fry in lard, right? Or they fry in chicken schmaltz of treif chickens, or meat fat of treif meat, or in treif butter, right? Or whatever they fry in, right? They use treif oils, and therefore, the blia is direct, like roasting. But in chametz, when we have a chametzstick frying pan, we use chametzstick oils in the chametzstick frying pan? Is there such thing as chametzstick oil? What kind of oil do you use in a frying pan? You could use butter if you're making milkshakes. You could use chicken schmaltz if you're making flake shakes. You could use olive oil or canola oil or any other type of vegetable oil if you're making pareve. But the chametz is the pancakes. But the oil's not chametzstick. No one uses chametzstick oil. I know theoretically you could like be machmetz wheat and make oil out of it. But I'm saying that's not anything anyone's ever done in history. So therefore, the oil is not chametz. And therefore, the blia is through an intermediary like cooking. That's the chiddush of the Ramami Pano. Why is the Ramami Pano such a chiddush? Because that's not the way most people understand the difference in Hagel and Liban.
It's also the Metzius, not the Yisod. You might be totally wrong if the
Metzius
is not that way.
No, a
Pashto
the
Metzius,
whatever.
No, one side yes, the other side not.
What does that mean? How can you assume that the guides did use either?
Because in the old days, what did they use for oil and frying?
It doesn't matter whether it was new days or the old days. It means it's a mitzvah.
Okay,
it's
good.
It's like a sod hilchati.
Okay, but something is shonar mitzvahs. It's not a Gemara, it's a Shulchan Aruch.
How do we know in the Mechaber's time that was the way it was? We don't know.
He lived in the Mechaber's, close to the Mechaber's time, so he knew.
And he didn't live in the same place.
That is true. Tana was not where the Mechaber was.
I mean, is there anyone that...
Okay. The Maisa, this is a very big Chakira, though, because when we say... Here, what do we say? We say, roasting needs Liban. But cooking needs Hagola. Why? So, Rove Poskim, most people understand that it's a difference in the heat. A difference in the heat.
That
most people understand that here it is a hotter dry heat, and here it is a milder, right? A milder hot water. Right? If you think about it, we all know you roast things hotter than you cook things. If you cook things, I mean, it's as hot as the boiling point of the liquid, right? You can't get hotter than that. And certainly with water, that's pretty low, although one can question that oil. So it's just different kinds of heat. It's a dry heat. And it is a hot water. Different kinds of heat that make the bliya. And therefore, one is a stronger bliya than the other. However, says the Rama Mipano, he says a little more complicated. He says, no, it's not about the kind of heat. It's about the transfer. Does the transfer go through something else, or does it go straight? Right? Is the transfer through an intermediary, or is the transfer direct? Now, here, there are two versions, you should know, of Rama Mipano. Give me half a second. Rama Mipano... Lefi, the, let me make sure I'm not mixing them up, Lefi Rabbi Kiva Eger, is here, the Bliya is direct, and here, the Bliya is via an intermediary, meaning the water. According to this, the Ramami Pano explains the Kula of the Mechaber, and Zev wouldn't like this, but he'd say, even nowadays, if a guy fried bacon every morning in canola oil, Hagala would be good enough, because the bliya goes through an intermediary, says the Rama Mipano. Now, can anyone think of a homer, the Rama Mipano?
Hold on a second. I mean, if you're saying that in the case of bacon, though, that means it also generates its own oil, doesn't it?
I've never tried frying bacon.
There are three explanations. Because before you said we had the thing of the terabolo to people who sit, and now you said
I'm not explaining that there are two explanations of the difference between the machlas and your din or chayim. Now I'm explaining something else. The etzim din of Levin Hagala. Why is there an etzim difference between Levin Hagala? Is it has to do with the heat or whether there's an intermediary? Says the Rabbi Kiva Eger, though, then the Rabbi Pana would have a chumrah. What's the chumrah? What if the guy cooked a pot full of trace milk? Or a pot full of treif wine. Was there an intermediary? No. The wine, and therefore it just needed Liban. That's a big chumra. Right? If they pasteurized treif milk, you need Liban. And they clearly pasteurized treif milk because there was no intermediary. And he says, that's a big tema. The Ramami Pano would have such a big chumra, no one ever heard of it. So therefore, the Chassam Sofer is a different version of the Ramami Pano. Lefi. The Chassam Sofer, he says... That he said the Rama Mipano is really combining both pshatim. He says, when do you need Liban if it's dry heat and direct? The Rama Mipano has no chumras, only kulas. You only need Liban if it's dry heat and it's direct. But if it's right through hot water or hot liquid, right, or indirect, then you only need. Then you only need Hagala. Basically, what he says is that the Rama Mipano combines the kulas of both. I'm not going to work out the nafkaminas right now on the board because they don't want to think about it. Basically, the Rama Mipano has on one side a kula. If it goes through a trace intermediary, even if it's dry heat, like an example would be, let's say you roasted trace deli roll. The Rama Mipano would say Hagala is good enough. Because the taste only came from the treif meat through the bread, assuming the bread was kosher. Right? But the Rambam and Tana also have a chumrah, contrary to the Eger's version, yes. If you cook treif milk or cook treif wine, you would need limon, so there's no intermediate. But the Chasover's version says you would only have kulas, not chumras. Because you only need limon if it's dry heat and it's direct. If it's through hot water, even if it's direct, limon's enough. If it's through intermediary, even if it's dry heat, then Hagalah is good enough. Okay, so these are the not answers to explaining this machaber. Answers to the fundamental question this machaber might depend on, which is what's the whole difference between Levan and Hagalah in the first place. There are three deos that come up all out of the Shach in Sukkot and Ches, quoting the Ramayu Tano, Isaac.
What comes out from all these answers, though, is that it would seem that if someone did Levan for something that, for a vessel that only required Hagalah, that should be...
Everyone agrees that. That's question.
Agrees?
Yeah.
You say that the difference is in the built up home. So it could be enough for, you know, the way you're cooking if you're using a pressure cooker.
That is a good point. And then big enough being a good one about a deep fryer. That's what gets all the boil. The boiling point of oil is a lot hotter than the boiling point of water. Lemaisa, we don't find such things. So it's Yesh La'ayin. Maybe say it's not Midat HaChom, it's Tiv HaChom, but I'm not sure what that means. So Yesh La'ayin. I understand full well. I know boils well. Yeah, okay, yesh la'ayin, and that maybe we'll come back to it. Okay, let us go. Sorry, what? Okay, okay. Now, here comes a very big issue discussed in terms of the shachir. The shachir says, what about if you're kashering a fleshik frying pan or a milchik frying pan? Right? If the fleshik frying pan has the fleshik frying pan you use with schmaltz. Direct. A milchik frying pan uses butter direct. So should you perhaps need libun? So this gets onto a big, big, big machlokes on poskim. Because, after all, how about this sari or chalavi? What if something is fleshik or milchik? Should you ever need libun to kasher a fleshik thing to make a parav or a milchik thing to make a parav? What would you think? What?
Well,
it's a terabola, right? Milk and meat is a terabola. It's not for not to a tera. You're a little premature, sorry. Rove post masum, right? The shach in the Nakudas Dekes and Simon Sadi Gimel. Simon Sadi Gimel, Rabbi Akiva Eger here, and Rove Poskim. Say hetei rabola. This is the accepted minhag. The accepted minhag is that if something is fleshik and you want to make it parav, or something is milchik and you want to make it parav, that's hetei rabola. Hagol is good enough. So, for example, if I had a parav baking pan and I accidentally made it milchik, I want to make it parav again, I can just do hagol in the baking pan, no problem. It's hetei rabola. Milk is only hetei rabola. If I have a parav George Foreman, you know, the kind of sandwich maker kind of thing, and I accidentally put cheese in it, or I accidentally put meat in it, and I want to make it parvi, and I just have to do Hagala. I'm not sure I would recommend doing Hagala for those things,
yeah,
practically. But okay, theoretically, that's a bad example. If I have a parv toaster oven, and I actually put milchik in it, I could just do Hagala, take out the wrap, do Hagala, and I could thus kasher it. Or we'll see something when Kyle will get to. However, there's a minority day in the poskim based on the shach here.
Why? What is the reason for it?
What?
What is the reason? Why one time we go according to the halach b'kisula, the terabala yisurba, and sometime we go to the concept of how the mahvat is below?
It's like this. First you decide if it's a tera or a surah. If it's a tera, always hagala, nothing to talk about. If it's yisura, then you have to figure out whether it needs hagala or libun.
What's the logic? Does it make sense?
Okay.
Well, what's the kesher between them?
The kesher between them is not to explain, just to pass it. The kesher between them is this: there are some types of liyas that need hagala, some types of liyas that need libun. But in the teir bala, they all need hagala. Nothing needs libun. So, if something had terabola, you don't have to investigate what type of plea it had. Just hagola. If something's a surabola, you have to get into the details of what kind of plea it had.
Doesn't that prove from the previous two shiur that there is a cause of none
So I didn't want to get into this, but Lamaisa, if it's a mitzias, you have to base yourself on the idea that heterabola, which is weakened, is not strong enough for halos iser, because mitzias is weakened. If it's a matter of zeres hakasov, then you have to say, which I haven't found in the achronim, but is very meduyak, that in the parsha of Klei Midyan, which was the surabola, the Torah says kaldar sheyov ba'esh, kaldar sheyov mamayim, different ways of kashering. In the parsha of Kutchim, which is the terabola, the Torah said morak tut of mine only hagola. Therefore, it's a different haloshem for the different ones. I agree, but not for now. Lemaisa, I just want to point out there's a minority shita. There is a minority shita of the. I'll just mention one person. The Pre-Chadash and the Pre-Megadim based on the Shach over here, who seems to require Liban from Milk and Fleshek, that says Basar Shmo Alav and Chalav Shmo Alav. That minority sheet is a little hard to understand. I didn't come at Shmo Alav, it's already come at. Basar, who cares that Basar is always Basar? It's only Asar would become Basar B'chalav when it mixes with Chalav. Basar itself is not Asar. It's a difficult sheet to understand. I'm not going to try to explain along this now. Lemaisa, we paskin, like the mainstream Shita, that Milchik or Fleshik is a terabola, and therefore you could always do just Hagalah, that's good enough. Not Chas V'shal, Milchik and Fleshik together. And if someone makes Basar B'chalav, that's obviously a terabola. If someone makes a sandwich with chicken and cheese, then obviously that's Yisurabola. But if someone makes just a chicken sandwich on my pariv, that's a terabola. Just a grilled cheese sandwich on my pariv, that's a terabola.
What about after
Binyamu? The Chassam Sofer here has a Gvaldikha. The Chassam Sofer in the Pesach Chumi here says, what if, here's a great question, what if you cooked or roasted, right, what if Sala, Basar, Vikli, Chalavi, Ben Yovel. That is called Isurabala. If you have a Ben Yovel milk and Kli and you roast meat, that's Isurabala, that's Mamash Treif, and vice versa. But what about, more interesting, what about Sala Basar, Vikli, Chalavi, She'eino Ben Yovel?
Who's the Shay?
It's not binyomo, meaning this is a lot of real life shaylas we have. Someone has a frying pan that's fleshik, and they accidentally make milk on it, it's not binyomo. Or the baking tray, and they accidentally make milk on it, it's not binyomo. So says the Chassam Sofer, remember what the psa, I'm not the minhag, the ikar psak was? Are you allowed to use this kli anymore?
Yes,
for pirate, right? Because it never became basar chol, never became usr, just as blis of chol and blis of basar. It never became usr, it's ain't a binyomo, right? You can eat this meat that you make on ain't a binyomo baking tray. Right? And there's nothing tray, just as milchik blis and fleshik blis, so it's very impractical to use, and the minog is to try not to use it at all, but halachically you could even use it for pirate, there's no tray in it. Just milk and fleshik simultaneously. There's two heterobolas, which are very inconvenient to have at the same kli. But it's really a terabola. So says it's on sofa, heterobola. And therefore, you could counter it with Hagalah. This is a very useful kula to know, because a lot of kitchen mess-ups, someone can have a baking tray. And that baking tray is a milky baking tray its whole life. And then they accidentally make fleshik on it. Now, yes, if it's ben yomo, the food is treif, the kli is treif. Most of our baking trays can't stand liban. You know, each one is different, but most of them, everything goes in the garbage. If it's ain't ben yomo, now is the food mutter. The tray, I wouldn't say it's totally mutter like it always was, but it's not usher, it just has milchik blis and fleshik blis. And therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, it's a terabola, and you kasher the tray with hagola, or we'll see something called libun kal, which like hagola, and that makes the difference in having to throw it in the garbage and being able to kasher it, because libun is very hard to do for a lot of modern day kilim.
I'm just trying to understand, but for Ashkenaz, which is there, so that's not, we don't factor that in when it comes to Yisrael?
It's not exerder derabanan, it's just a minhag. Yeah. That doesn't factor. It's just a minhag not to use it for parif. It's not exerder. Okay.
It's just a certain disease of the shock, the Paskin. So he says if you have a pot that had a blizz of disarray, or blizz of colony, and then you use it for.
In this case,
yeah, yeah.
No, you have a pirate pot, and you use it for busser. You want to make a pirate again. Or in a pirate pot, you use it for colony. You want to make a pirate again. How do you have to kosher it? So there, most of them say, it's purely heter. just with Hagala. There's a damn near the post can say with Liban, which is a big finish, and that's not Makobal among those posts. Okay. Let us go on then. I think that's all we have to mention for now. Yes. Dalit. In Higel Kli Yatzarich Liban, also Shams of Khan, Afil Shua Ayyadei Ha'ish. If a Kli needs Liban, let's say it is a baking tray. I mean, you have to think of a better example. That's going to be more practical. You have a Kli that needs Liban, like a...
Shifudim.
What?
Shifudim.
Shifudim, I mean, okay. Shifudim, they need Liban. I only did Hagala. They're not, like a skewer. Right? A spit. I only did Hagala. So now it's not really kashrut yet. But is the Hagala good enough that I can at least use it to stir a pot now? Like, does the Hagala work that it's not kashrut for roasting, but it's at least kosher enough for cooking? The answer is no. If I do a lesser form, it's not kosher at all. If it needed Liban, I did Hagala, then it's not kosher at all, even if I just stir a pot, it'll make the pot rife. Okay. This we've seen before in 7 Sadi Aleph, but you can use it for cold, which has no bleas. Even lachachila the adachah shifts of hate it if you just rinse it and scrub it well. Kolshim please serve hagala, and for sure if it only needs hagala, whether it's liban or hagala, you can use it cold if you just wash it normally with the sponge. The derech of derech arai, as we mentioned now, this hatter is only arai, right? Those should be self-cotton like you're in friendlies, or you're in a guy's house, over the evet, or you're in a bidyevet situation where you're stuck. Of all the roads, if you want to use it, the kviyas for cold, yesh ma'afrim roam da filo shtam shetot tzarech hagala liban gzeir shem shtam shom v'chamin. Right, we mentioned this. This is in the Shach and Tzadi Aleph. Right, if you have a trade kli, you use it arai for cold. But if you want to use bekeva, you have to kasher it because once you use bekeva, you'll accidentally use it for hot food. Okay, very reasonable. From a mordechai, v'hachi nogin, and that's our midhug. Minatzu si shomrim. That's the binding minhag. Vafilo came from Mishtab Shvisha Mishtone, even came that are Tashmisha Mishtone. Here's going to be big machlokas agav, when you get a chance, Isaac. This can replace the earlier one. Even kalim that are used for cold. Sorry. Imyesh Mocha Shechimbo Yayin, if you worry that they might sometimes have used it for hot, like heated wine. Nowadays, no one drinks hot wine, but in the old days, they drink hot wine. Nowadays, there are other hot things, cider, whatever. Right? Kigon play kesef, like for example silver beckers. Nogin lahagel v'enlish anos. The minhag is even if you just think they might have used it for hot, then you have to do hagola, and you're not allowed to violate this minhag. Vafilu tevus shchanos hanikam nevkam, and even pantries and tables that you buy from goyim, which obviously you just eat cold food on. No, nogin lahagel shem nishpokan lechayim. The minhag is to do hagola because maybe they spilled hot food on it, meaning. Basically, the minhag is to always do hagala, even things that are not used for hot food, because they might have used it for hot. I mean, unless it's something they absolutely couldn't have. But in most kalim, if you buy used kalim from a guy, then you have to do hagala because they might have used it for hot, even if they might not have.
What happened to the thing we learned about
lotash mishum? Aha, we'll get to that in a second. The daft lechachila v'di'evet in lachosh only lechachila, but b'di'evet. You don't have to worry about it. Let me just continue. And therefore, if it was kli cheres that was more cold, me'acher the efshar b'hagola, since you can't do hagola to it, mikri b'yevet, that's already called b'yevet, v'sagli mikushet, if it's enough to just rinse it and scrub it, well, meaning, if you can, you have to kasher everything with hagola in case they use it for hot food. But if you can't, like let's say it's cheres, it's not kasher bolo for some reason, then it's okay to just go by the likely scenario and just rinse it out and scrub it well. Okay, stopping before the last two lines or however many lines you have up from up before the word umutter with the ches of the berhete before it. So here, first of all, Zev asked, what happened to the rule of Let's continue. And you can keep it in, put in afterwards, even harsh things like vinegar, etc. For sure, dry, hard, harsh things like spice. Okay, so basically, there's a few things that come up here. Number one is Zev said, "What about the Indian of Rov Tashmisho?" Clearly, he thinks the Rov Tashmisho is cold. It's only Rechoshes that they might have occasionally used it for hot. Meaning, coffee, obviously, usually drink cold things out of. I don't mean like a special mug. You know, they might have put hot wine in it. You never know. They might have heated up wine. They might have. But clearly, the normal use is for
a cold. So we see from the Ramah, so
this is a machlokas, or this is a fork,
Hafnan Aleph, right? Do you go by Rov Tashmisho or the most chomer use ever? Right? You go by the normal use, Rov Tashmisho, or no, by the any time it might have been used in a more chomer fashion. So the Mechaber goes by Rov Tashmisho. That's why he did not say anything here. However, the Ramah says, Lechatchila go by the most chomer use ever. This. Their difference is merely a function of psach, meaning Rov Rishonim held Rov, you followed Rov Tashmisho. That's confusing. The majority of Rishonim followed Rov Tashmisho, so the Mechaber passed like the majority of Rishonim. However, the Ramah was choshesh for the minority view that you have to go by the most chomer use, but since it was a minority view, he was only choshesh lechachila.
Yourself, you think that the law is not that way, and you say yourself that's l'chatchila m'dievad. L'chatchila m'dievad is a different concept. Here it doesn't make any sense.
That's a philosophical question, and
philosophical.
And due to the time constraints, we're not going to answer philosophical questions.
Can we simply say that the minhagin was that was one of most people were doing, and so it was like,
why do you think it's a philosophical question? It's a halachic issue. Since when is the up to be machmir lechatchila and not the diavan on something when Rov the poskim, right? Mail if you worry about Rabbi Chanan al Shit, I understand.
Okay, so sometimes the Ramah does this when some of the later Ashkenazi codes.
Which region held? That it's not Rov
Tashmisho. I will come back to that question in Tafnan Aleph. We'll list all the Rishonim. Okay, now, I just want to mention a few haros. First of all, there's a machlokes shach and tazer, which is really based on the Darkei Moshe, which is if you have a treif kli, if you have a clean treif kli, can you use it for cold? That's the first norma. Mutter. But all right. How about use for cold charif? Can you use it for cold charif things? So here, the Taz quotes,
why should there be a difference? We learn part of the language of the second.
So the Taz says mutter, but the Shach al pi, what we learned in Sof Simon Kof Hei, says not so positive. Remember, we learned in Sof Simon Kof Hei that there are two levels of Charif. That if it is lach, then it's also lechatchila. The different reasons, check your notes on Sukkot. Hey, and if it was yavish, then we said mutter ve'amachmir tavo olav bracha. So we hold like the shach because that's the psak of the Ramah, the end of Kof Hey. That when we say that the heter cold ba'akrai, that's only for non charif. For charif, lechatchila don't put wet charif and even dry charif. Okay, machmir tovel lebracha. It is a proper chumrah to not put. Any other important ha'aros we have to mention here? 1 second. We'll get to that, and we will. Good enough for now.
Or the dafet sakina.
What?
You don't need any dafet sakina, like any.
No, dafet sakina would be aser be'ikra. Didn't even be diavet if you use the trick clean dafet sakina and dakarf.
Why do we say it's
Asur L'Chachilas? That's a good question. It could be because L'Chachilas were Chokshesh. L'Chachilas were Chokshesh for the minority Shita that maybe Charif is Boleya even without Dovker Sakina. Even though Me'ikra didn't mean a whole like that Shita. Okay. The truth is that in the end of Sim Kof Hei, it talked more about salt. It was the Shach there, who's Lashitase, who said it applies to Dar Karim also. So maybe I should say it's not so pashut. The Shach says, equating Charif with Melach, right? The end of Sim Kof Hei was about salt.
he had shach is extending that to charif, and the mice of the later post can agree with him on the lechachim alef. Okay, seif bav. Clay matos afalbi sheish omer shemshdamish po ezer b'miktsaso nesar kulo. Even though some people say that if you use part of it for treif, it is all treif. Now here I will ask in this sif. There's going to be a sif also relevant to this tough and aleph. People not think too hard, because if they think too hard, they'll come up with a question that I don't have the answer to, and they'll have to make lousy excuses like I thought this from the oven also. Didn't have an answer. But here, the first question is, this is the question, what happens if you have a kli that was only used for treif, part of the kli, right? Only part of the kli was used for treif. Like a spoon, it was stirred, but you didn't put the handle into the treif, you only put the regular part of the spoon into the treif, etc., etc. So what if you have a kli that, here's your kli, this touched Isser, and this part didn't. So first, Yesh Omrim, that Nishtamshu is Mitzoso Nesar Kulo. Some people say it's all treif. Okay. And if it is all treif, then what? Then, Mishum the Chametzas of Hamkulo, because if part of the tzad, it's all hot. Avalini Hechsheru, with the kasher, lo alu Hechsher, she actually kulo, you have to kasher the whole thing. Can't say kasher part of it, kasher all of it. Beinlin, Yagel, Beinlin, Liban, for Hagal or Liban, you have to kasher the whole thing. This is the opinion of the Rashba and the Machaber, it's a little tricky, but okay, this gets a little complicated. We'll try to simplify it as much as we can. One data is the Rashba, and the Mechaber says that it all becomes Asur, and you have to kasher all of it. Meaning, there's a certain like unfairness here, l'chumra. If you dip half of it in your soup, it all becomes treif. To absorb, part of it absorbs into all of it. But to kasher, you have to kasher all of it. Okay. So basically what they're saying is that for b'liya, we say cham miktsaso, cham kulo, and it's all b'liya. But Pragala, right? We don't say, part of it is in the boiling water and being kasher, it's all kasher. No, you have to kasher every single part of it. The Ramah has a second day of a doctor, Shavuot Bekulo. This the Ramah, based on the Torah. He makes it sound like he's interpreting the Machaber, but the Yachron will point out he's really arguing on the Machaber. So if you look in the Rashi and the Torah, you'll see it's a Machlok. It says the Torah and the Ramah, they say it all becomes Asur. But it's enough to kasher the part that touched the Isser, because there's a principle, kibolo kach polto, however it was boleya, that's how you kasher it. So it's enough to kasher part of it. But
okay. Should there be a difference between this and tefila?
Yes, everyone agrees tefila has to be all of it and all of it at once, because that's a chalos tumim power. Cham mitzaso cham kulo, but for Allah, what do we say? We say that, what is Ramah saying? If it was all traits that all touched food, it wouldn't be enough to have all part of it, right? That everyone agrees. But what he says is that a Hag Allah's cham mitzaso cham kulo is enough only for a blias. Cham miktsaso cham kulo. Notice no one says, and no one will say, that if I stick my whole spoon in treif soup, it's enough to do hagol on part of the spoon. No, absolutely not. The machlok, the mechaber and ramah, Tor and Rashba, is if I only stuck the bottom half of my spoon in the soup, is it enough to kasher the bottom part of my spoon? The mechaber says, no, it all becomes treif. And you don't say kavolo kach boto here. Once it's all treif, it all has to be kashered. The Machaber says, you know what you say, Kabbalah Kachpolto? How strong does the heat have to be? But on what part of it do you have to kasher? You have to kasher all of it. The Machaber says, no, if it all fell in the soup, you have to kasher all of it. If only the bottom part went into the soup, you only have to kasher the bottom part. The same way, and it'll go out. That's the shita of the Rambah. The, what? We'll get to that. Here, there's a big shach that Taz bring up. There's a day of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah says, we can only say this by Hagala. But by Liban, you need to be lobbing all of it, because Liban is not maflit. But remember what we said? Liban is not maflit, it's mechale. Liban doesn't cause the blias to leave. Liban burns the blias. It destroys the blias and incinerates them. It doesn't take them out, it incinerates them. Hagala takes blias out into water. Liban incinerates the blias. That's why you don't have to wait 24 hours for Liban. Because there's nothing to be confused about. The blias don't go out into anywhere, they get incinerated. Says the Ra'ah, this is true by Hagala. By Hagala, Kabbalah Kachpolto, a woman, and it'll go out. But by Liban, it's not an Indian going in and going out. It's an Indian that it has to incinerate them. Only the part that's actually under the blowtorch gets incinerated. The other part of the Kli does not get incinerated. So he limits the heter of the Rambah. And here's my folks in the Shach and the Taz.
But the other Taz wasn't us.
It was, because Ling and Blios went through the whole thing. So they basically say, Ling and Blios, when I take a spit, and I barbecue trade chicken one end of the spit, the Blios go to the other end of the spit also. But if I wanted to incinerate those Blios, I have to kasher every part of the spit. It's not enough to incinerate part of the spit. And why do we take a bullet cup polto? That's only by Hagala, which is about pulling. That principle doesn't apply to Liban. Here, the Melchukah Shach and Taz here is, the Shach says, the Tor is the same, it holds the same as the Ra'ah, and the Taz says, no, the Tor is Mekel also when it comes to Liban. Okay, the third sheet that here is the Shach himself, and the Marshal, not the only ones, but two names is good enough. They disagree with the premise. The Ra'ah here also implies that, although in some Tufta and Aleph, he doesn't say the same. They say, you know what? We disagree with the whole premise here. Even though Yesh Omrim, the Shtar Mishpah, Yisra Mitzvah, and Esar Kulo, it's very nice to the Yesh Omrim. We don't hold like that Yesh Omrim. Says the Shach, that only half becomes Usher in the first place. We don't say that when you put part of it in the treif, it goes the whole thing. That's only a bit of parrots, if you recall. We say no, if you put part of it in the treif soup, only the part in the soup becomes Usher. They say, just like we paskin, if you put a treif spoon in your soup, only the treif in the bottom half of the spoon goes into your soup. If you put a kosher spoon in treif soup, only the treif soup only goes into the bottom half of the spoon. That's the Shach says, and therefore, obviously, you only have to kosher that half. If only half of it became treif in the first place, obviously, not to kasher that half, but not for the Ramah's reason of Kabbalah Kachpolto. The Ramah says it all became straight, but Kabbalah Kachpolto. Shah says, no, it didn't all become straight in the first place. This Afi Shiye Shomer, no, hold like that Afi Shiye Shomer. That's the psak of the Shah, although in the end he says, by the Shah in the end is Mako by cooking. But by roasting, he is machmer. But Maisa, he only uses this kula by things that need hagala, by things that need liban. He's more nervous and says, it could be the whole thing becomes trif.
The machaber referred to the lead up before that, the difference in?
No. This Yesh Omrim is not explicitly referring to anything being that's been discussed until now.
Before that, the machaber didn't say anything about the dinner contest of Pankula.
He said in the opposite direction. If you put a treif spoon in a kosher pot, remember it's being a parrot versus the other Rishonim. But that's not this case. Here you put a kosher spoon in a treif pot.
Why did he say that?
There he said, we're making the Otsei Kamek Tosso Chakura. So that's basically the question. If we remember, what was that Simen Tzadi, the beginning of Tzadi Beis, think it was.
No, the beginning Tzadi Dalet.
Right.
Tzadi Dalet, what do we have? We had tray spoon in a kosher food. So, it is a machlokes, and we don't say cham miktsaso cham kulo. In sin kof chaf aleph, here we have a kosher spoon, which was dipped into a treif soup, right? This is the case, right? That the kosher spoon was dipped into a treif soup. And here, what did the Mechaber say? Yesh omrim, that nesar kulo mishum decham v'chuli. Right, cham tzaso cham kulo. What does he mean? What does this yesh omrim mean? Right, so this is gufa the machlokes. The Shach says, and the Baruch here sounds that way. The Lord Rachaim, it sounds like it's not really the other way around. Shach says, and we don't paskin like the Yesh Omrim. Because in Tzadi Dalet we didn't paskin like the Yesh Omrim. We don't paskin Chav Mitzaso Chav Kulo. However, right, most poskim say we do paskin like the Yesh Omrim. Why do we paskin like the Yesh Omrim? Most of them say we do pass like the Yesh Omrim. So why do we pass like the Yesh Omrim? Because it's easier to get the tam into a spoon than to get the tam out of the spoon. We do pass in like the Yesh Omrim for treif into the spoon, just not for getting treif out of the spoon in Simen Tzadi Dalet. So this is the Shach would say. I mean, it's a lechora stira in the Mechaber. In Tzadi Dalet we paskin that you don't have to measure connecting the whole spoon. All of a sudden, kof kof aleph, it sounds like the whole spoon becomes treif. So one answer is in Simen kof kof aleph was a yeshom when we don't hold like it. It was all a theoretical discussion that we don't hold like. That's what the Shach says. This is all a theoretical discussion. We don't hold like it today.
What does the Mechaber himself hold?
So what does the Mechaber himself hold? The Mechaber himself, the Mechaber himself was not clearly Machriya Tzadi Dalet, so it could be he's never clearly Machriya. It could be he's saying the Mechaber, he's never clearly Machriya. He leaves it as something in both cases. The way the Mishnah Berurah assumes, for example, this is what the Mishnah Berurah assumes in Siman Tafon Aleph and others, and this is also pretty clearly what the Magen Avraham assumes, and the other Achronim there, they assume that no, it's not Stira. Inside Idal, if you want to get the treif out of the spoon, then we don't say the treif goes out of the top of the spoon when you stick the bottom in. But if you want to get the treif into the spoon, then it's easier to get treif into the spoon. Then even if you stick the bottom into treif soup, the treif will go into the whole spoon. Now, you will then ask me a difficult question that I won't have the answer to, so I'm going to go on quickly before you ask me the question. But you'll think that's all tough enough. Correct, that's another form of the correct, and I'm going to leave that a little bit, but sorry. Yes. Okay. One second. Another one or two very important haros. Two very important haros. Okay, two very important haros from the Shach Yudches and the Shach Pesayin. Two important haros is, first of all, how do we hold? Well, who's we? But Spartan hold like this. Ashkenazim hold like the Rambam, but says the Shach and the Taz here,
only Bidi Eved. They say Lechachila, even though the Ramah here doesn't sound like that, if you go to the Ramah and Tafman Aleph, it sounds like Lechachila is molded to the Mechaber. That's the Shat Tase, and that's what we paskin. Lechachila, Ashkenaz, Marshardim. We say that Lechachila, even if part of it became treif, you have to kasher the whole thing. And that's halacha l'maaseh. We kasher for Pesach, even if we all know only part of the kli became chametz, we kasher the entire kli. If you accidentally take a milchik spoon and stick it into chicken soup, even if you know you only stuck it halfway into chicken soup, you have to kasher the whole spoon. Lechachila. The only time Ashkenaz or Meiko is b'di'evet. Okay, the other important halacha is...
Is there any idea that a little bit when you make a mistake? You just say, just kasher the whole thing because, you know... It's very easy to be like, I think only the front part of it touched.
Okay, that could be an additional reason also. Right, that's not, it's not 100% clear if the reason why Shan Rach Lechila is just to avoid confusion or to kosher to the Machaber. Lemais, the Shaf points out, this all comes from a Gemara. The Gemara says, Marika Ushtifa Lekachim Velo Letruma. Kachim needs Marika Ushtifa, the type of heksher prescribed in the Torah by, with a certain specific ritual, and Truma doesn't. And it's clear there that Fleishik and Melchik also don't mean Rukut Shtifa. So what do they mean by this? Where's many deus? One of the deus is, what it means is that even if only part of the Kli absorbed, you have to kasha the whole Kli. By Kachim, because that's what it says in the Torah, but not by Truma, and not by Basar, and not by Chalav. So basically, the Machlokas is this. The Gemara says... When it comes to truma, or basar, or chalav, you don't need to kasher the whole kli. So what's the machlokas Torah and Mechaber? Mechaber and Ramah? The machlokas is this. The Torah says, Bekach bechol isurim chutz mikadshim The Torah says, we see you only have to kasher the part of kli you use and not the whole kli and all isurim. All isurim, like truman, basar, and chalav. And it's only in kashering you have to kasher the whole kli, because that's a ritual. However, what does the Rashba say? Right, really, maybe I should start. This is the base of my focus. He says, no, it's a special kula in Truma and Basar and Chalav, but not for Isurim. Basically, in the Gemara there says, for Truma and Basar and Basar and Chalav, you don't have to kasher the whole pot, only the part you used. What does that mean? The Torah says, this shows for all Isurim, you only have to kasher the part you used. You don't have to kasher the whole Kli. Except by Kachim, which is Xeris HaKasim, it's a ritual. We'll see, there are many ritual things about how you kasher clay kachin. The Rashi says, no, it's only a special clue by truma and basar and chalav that you don't have to kasher the whole thing.
Why should we make?
Basar, because it's a terabala. Chalav, because it's a terabala. And truma, because a tiny amount of truma doesn't have kedusha, and therefore, it's enough to kasher the part you use, what's left is a tiny amount that loses its kedusha.
What was the second piece?
We're making basar and chalav because it's a terabala. We're making them truma because what's left is only going to be a tiny amount, and tiny amounts of truma don't have kedusha. What's the rule? We all know that if you have a jar of olive oil of truma, right, and I pour it into another kli, and there's a few drops left, those are mutter for azar, they lose their kedusha. Okay, special kula by truma. Therefore, what does the shach say? The shach says a big nafkamina from this. What's the big nafkamina from this? The nafkamina is, what do we see from here? That in heterabola lekuli alma ein tzarech lahagil kulo. That's the pshat of the shach. Now, what do we see? The machlokas was only an isurim between the Torah and the Rashba and the Mechaber and the Ramah. But in heterabola, everyone agrees you don't have to kasher the whole thing. So, for example, if I had a powder of spoon that I accidentally stuck into chicken soup, everyone agrees I don't have to kasher the whole spoon. It's only a terabala, and it's enough to only kasher the part that I used.
Now, halacha lemaisa, to avoid confusion, we always try to kosher the whole spoon. But in a case where, let's say, it would be difficult, then you should know, even if I have a pot, or if I have a pot, a pirate pot, and I cook milk in it, or some sofer, even in a benyom flesh pot, and I cook milk in it, which is still a kirabala, it's really enough to kosher it only up to the level I used. I don't have to kosher the whole thing. Because of this Gemara. Now, halacha l'maaseh said to avoid confusion, we try not to use this, but if necessary, it's important to know the difference. When it comes to Isur Bala, the Sfardim are super duper makbid, and even Ashkenazim are makbid l'chachila, that even if you only use part of it, you have to kasha the whole thing. When it comes to Etera Bala, it's enough to kasha the part that touched the food, which could be useful sometimes.
Well, how come we can't use this as a what the kula for kasha minayos? That always has a problem. That always says you can't because of the chibur. Of the chibur, you don't use it at all. So why can't we use this as a kula?
No. The reason, if I understand what Zev says correctly, which I may or may not have, but I understand what the poskim say correctly. The poskim say it's very hard to kasha knives in the old days, or old knives nowadays, because where the handle is attached to the blade, there's always crevices which get chametz or treif for food in them. That's the poskim, right? I don't know if that's what he meant. Obviously, they're referring to a knife that was just used randomly many times and everything got everywhere in this knife because it was left around food all the time. But enachanami, if you use a knife only to cut with the blade and you know only the blade touched the food, then it's enough to kosher the blade. That's enough posture. It's enough to kosher the blade.
Probably not so much more difficult if you're doing it in a gola than if you're doing it
in a gola. Maybe I'll want.
Okay, but what if the handle is made of something fancy, non-kosherable, or would be damaged, etc.?
It says in the book that the knife is the problem, but if you have something that has chaludah, you can't kosher it until you get the chaludah. Usually where the chaludah is, where the is the chibur.
So that's only talking about a knife when you put it in the food up to the chibur. If you didn't put the food up to the chibur, then it's okay.
Okay.
Let us continue to Zion. Okay. So if Zion is talking about knives. Now, knives are a big mess. And again, some of these things we're going to have to repeat twice in Tafel Aleph. So I might ask you to even remember it. Did I use up this whole board since we... Yeah, I think I did. Isaac. Knives, there's a fundamental sphera. You know what? I'm not going to get to the fundamental sphere yet. Okay, we'll save that for Tafel Aleph. Knives. Okay. Sakin Yosha. Ben Gadol Ben Katan. The Ben Gadol Ben Katan is going to mean something here. We'll explain it in a little bit. Hanikach Be'okon. You buy a knife from a gun. In Balish Tarish Betzoni, and you only want to use for cold. This is the last Gemara in Avodah Zarah. They were sitting, who was it? Mar Okfar. And Ben Buti were sitting in front of Shavur Malka, and they wanted to be Esrog, and Shavur Malka had a treif knife. So, how do you kasher a knife to cut? How do you kasher a knife to cut cold with? So, Hanimei Okan Balach Tavish Betzoni. Number one, this leads to Shami in Bagumos. If the knife doesn't have crevices, cracks and crevices, some knives have cracks and crevices. The cracks and crevices, maybe it's, I mean, we don't have knives of the kind of cracks and crevices that they seem to have had, but we have two issues of cracks and crevices in our knives. Number one is, if you're going to plunge a knife deeply into something, an old knife has a crevice where it's attached to the handle. New knives don't have that. But old knives have a crevice where it's attached to the handle, but that's not even here. He made gumos in the blade itself. Nowadays, maybe our serrated knives are like that, right? They have gumos, it's, you know, it's a little hard to clean. But let's assume it doesn't have kumos. It doesn't have crevices. No, it's a sarpam karka kasha. You stick it, you stab it 10 times into hard dirt. But certainly, it's an itza tiba karka kasha. Each time you stab it into the ground, it has to be in hard dirt. Therefore, you can't stick it in the ground twice in the same place. Because once you stick it in the ground once, now it's not hard anymore. It had a hole already. The point is, because it's abrasive, right? They didn't have abrasive sponges in those days. How would you clean something very, very, very hard? You'd stick it into hard dirt, and then you stick it in 10 times, and it gets very clean.
So
So according to the way you're phrasing it now, if you had steel wool, that would work just as well.
Correct. I mean, and the nowadays, half the postmen say, if we have a very abrasive sponge and we scrub 10 times, that's just as good. The other half the postmen say, logically, it would seem that our abrasive sponges are just as good, but we don't want to be mechadish things that weren't written in the Gemara, so you didn't hear it, so I'm not going to pass it that way. Okay, the mindset, we can pass it that way. Okay. So, what does he say? First of all, you have to do ne'itza even to cut cold with a knife. Why do you have to do ne'itza even to cut cold? We assume, because knives are hard to clean. Again, in our tzias, our knives, we don't see why they would get dirtier than anything else. But at least in their tzias, the knives were very dirty and very hard to clean. They got a lot of caked up dirt. Therefore, you have to clean knives extra well. So, even though in our tzias, we're not exactly sure, our knives don't seem to be any dirtier than our forks and spoons, and plates and glasses and anything else. But nonetheless, so if they said ne'itza for a knife, so if we want to use a treif knife, we have to do ne'itza and scrub it abrasively 10 times.
So ne'itza is cleanliness,
not glue. So ne'itza is, again, I'm speaking according to mainstream understanding, ne'itza is cleanliness and maybe not glue. Okay, well, you'll see what I mean by maybe in a moment. Continuing. Even to cut a dover charif, it's good enough. Why? Is an esrog charif or not? So the Rashba and the Mechaber assume esrog is charif. And the last word about a zara, they did ne'itza and cut an esrog. That shows, you took a picture of the way, that shows ne'itza is good enough even for a dover charif. Even if you want to cut onion, ne'itza is good enough. So what do we see from here? We see from here that what is ne'itza good for? What is ne'itza help for? Ne'itza doesn't work for cutting cold bland food? Yes. Does it work for cutting hot? No. That we'll see in the next line. The Chaver says that's not enough. If you want to cut hot, you have to do a liban hamel, etc. Does it work for cutting cold charif? So, says the Rashba and the Mechaber, yes. And if I say tshuva, quotes in the Bechor Shor, and that's the, there's a couple of minority Achronim like this, who says no. What about the Esrog? Esrogs aren't charif. Says Esrogs aren't charif. Okay, I don't know what kind of esrog they had, what his standard of harifos was. Clearly, an esrog is not as harif as an onion. what's the machlokas here? The Bechor Shor svara is very pashut. What's the svara? Ne'itza is to clean off ben, not to remove lios. Right? Needs, it doesn't get bleos out. It only cleans the surface. So if you want to cut an apple, that's fine. But charif will get out the bleos too, and needs, it doesn't kasher out the bleos. Needs, it doesn't kasher bleos, it just cleans the surface. Question is, what's the svara of the Mechaber and the Rashba? There are no one showing them on the Mechorcher side. What's the svara of Mechaber? So here it's not exactly clear. And it's a big mess in the Achronim. Some of them want to say that, no, ne'itza does remove the bleos. And that's the reason you need it to cut cold food that's not harf is also because to remove the bleos, which is a little hard. Some people say, it removes the outer layer of the bleos. It's also a little hard because we normally possibly cut a dover charif, all the bleos go out. So the simple shot of the, is that ne'itza does two things. One, it cleans off the end. And two, it removes some of the bleos. Which bleos does it remove? Whatever bleos would come out through cutting the recharif are removed by ne'itza. The bleos that would come out through using it for hat are not removed by ne'itza. But whatever bleos would go into the recharif are removed by ne'itza. Even though that's a bit of an aesthetically ugly shot, meaning anybody needs those two things. It cleans off the shmutz on the surface, that's why you need the itza to cut an apple, and it removes the bleos, that's why it helps even to cut onion. And then B, we have to say, well, it doesn't remove all the bleos, because you're not allowed to cut hot meat now. It only removes the bleos, part of the bleos. And then we say, and it's not like that sif with libra and hagalah, that if some of the bleos are left, everything's also. No, no, no. When it comes to knives, whatever bleos would come out cutting a cold onion are removed by nitzah. Whatever bleos would come out by cutting hot meat are not removed by nitzah. Okay, that's a mouthful. But lechora, that's how we paskin. Isaac.
The ceiling would fit pretty well with the bowl, but also because that's how you would, I mean, when you're cutting things, you've got a hurry. It's good enough, but not good enough for when you're actually...
Correct. Okay. Now, let's learn a few other halachos. Now, halacha l'mayis, so the Pesukei Teshuva says, and this is what a lot of the modern Sfarim quote, that the maskana of the Bechor Shor is that really we paskin like the Rashba. This is the halacha, is like the Rashba. But they say a bal nefesh should be machmer like the Bechor Shor. The halacha is that once you can eat it, you can even cut an onion. Because Pashup Shat is an Esro Bisharif. And they cut an Esro in Shas. And that's the Rashba. The Ra'ah agrees with him. How often does the Ra'ah agree with the Rashba? And, you know, in the Bet Kabayis and the Machaber Pasim Sayyidu Stachronim. However, some Achronim do pass like the Bechor Shor. Therefore, you know, Machmer Tavol Bracha or Bal Nefesh be Machmer, which is different. and there's Moon Shri Machmer. And not cut an onion, even with Ne'isa, until you kashra totally.
Which bleos is it removed from the cover?
Whatever bleos would come out through cutting an onion. Whatever bleos might have gotten into your onion, removed by Ne'itza. Whatever bleos, yeah, that's why it's a very ugly pshat. You know, I mean that as a judgment on the machaber. Just, it's a very awkward pshat. That's why a lot of people don't like it.
You say, Al-Bisfar
doesn't even make sense. Al-Bisfar doesn't seem to be such a good pshat. Right, exactly. Okay. Add the Ramah, Ulishtanj bo kviyas logar mishar klishin on the Hagalah field. So he said, first, you want to use it for pulpit kviyas, you have to do Hagalah, because we know it's only barbai, you're allowed to use it to cut cold. If you use it kavua, you have to kasher it legamre. The Ramah that we just read in France. Vimyesh bo gumos, but what if it has crevices, and therefore the pizza won't clean it out, so there's stuff stuck in the crevices? Osher rotzo lach luchandro, you want to use it to cut hot things. Olishkapur, you want to use the shecht. Then you have to kasher it. How do you kasher it? Milabna o mashkiza v'mashkeza shalapach in heitev al pnei kula. Here we have two machlokos here. Here we have two machlokos. What are the two machlokos going on here? One machlokos is, it comes to kashering treif knives. One machlokos is, right? Do you need Hagalah? Or do you need Liban? That is not clear in the Gemara. Why? Because the Gemara in Chulin Daf Ches says Liban, the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed says Hagalah. So it's not clear.
Why should it be different than regular kill?
Aha. So, good question. Why should it be different than regular kalim? It shouldn't be different than regular kalim. It really shouldn't. So, here, I admit it's going to get a little tricky. But, okay. We will not get into it totally now. The question is this. The Achronim debate why a knife should need Liban. They say, because sometimes you use knives as a spit, like as a skewer to roast things, at least in the old days. And even nowadays, you know, sometimes we use knives on the barbecue to take things on or off the barbecue, etc., even though not usually. But they're sometimes used for roasting knives, even though usually they're not. Usually they're not used for roasting. Agav, I should point out, by the way, that once you take something off the fire, whether it's dry or wet, any kalim used for Hagalah is good enough. Like, if I take bread off the fire and it's piping hot and I cut it with a knife, Hagalah is good enough for that.
Why?
Because it's only on the fire that you have the strong heat of the fire that you would need Liban.
Why in Shabbos it's different?
Definitely.
Why in Shabbos it's different? the Rishon is considered even if it's off the edge?
Your question would only be true if off the Eish on Shabbos was considered Klivishon Bitzli. Okay, now the Maisa, it's not so clear in Hilchos Shabbos whether off the Eish is considered Klivishon Bitzli or not, but we'll leave that question for now. The Maisa, it's not so clear why you would need Liba. The Balitosos assume, the reason you would need Liban is because sometimes it was used for roasting. I don't know how common that is with our modern-day knives. But sometimes it was used for roasting. So, what should we say? We should say, what logically should we say? Logically, we should say, the Machaber should say, Rov Hashmisho. And therefore, Hagolah is good enough for knives. Right? You don't always use them for roasting. That's the Machaber should say, that Hagolah is good enough for knives. What should the Ramah say? He should say, Lechatchila Likon, right? And Bidiyeved Hagolah, right? Because Bidiyeved can go by Rov Tashmisho. Lechatchila Machri, even for me, Tashmisho. This is discussion Tosos in the last. Omer of Avazara, right? What do you need to do for knives? The Balitosos argue there to say it depends if we go by Rov Tashmisho or not. Now, what do we find? What do we find? We find that Thurma does say Amachachil Shdu Liman, but the Avadagol is good enough. However, what do we find about the Machaber? The Machaber says you need Libun. That's very strange. Why would the Machaber say that a knife needs Libun? Right? It's a little peculiar why the Machaber would say a knife needs Libun. It's, as a matter of fact, it is exceedingly peculiar. Lemaisa, the Gra is very confused about this. Why does he say that a knife needs Liban? He says, the Gra says, if you're going to get a very large knife, then you might say a very large knife you always use to roast things on a campfire. But if you're talking about being large knife, being small knife, clearly they're not things you usually use to roast on the on top of a campfire. So the Gra says, why? Says the Gra, maybe it's just a Chumra B'Alma. Maybe just a Chumra B'Alma. That's the best that he could do. Maybe it's just a Chumra B'Alma. That is very, it's very strange that the Machaber should say this. It's a bit of a mystery. The Machaber should not logically say this. Why? Let's review. The Machaber says we go by Rov Tashmisho in Hilchos Pesach. And then he says, you want to know the rules of Hagolah and Liban? Look in Hilchos Pesach. So obviously we go by Rov Tashmisho in Issurei Heter as well. So if we go by Rov Tashmisho, then why is he so machmir about a knife? And the Gra can't figure it out. He says it must be a Chumra B'Alma. I don't know, it's a bit of a mystery why the Chaber was so machmir about knives. You'd like to say that maybe somehow understood that the duchad zakina makes it worse and requires liban. Even though that's not what the Gra doesn't say that, because he looks at Beis Yossi, and the Beis Yossi doesn't have that answer. But you'd like to say maybe the duchad zakina somehow makes it require liban. Duchad zakina is more chavar, right? Meaning regular kalim, so they need hagalah if they were not used mainly on a barbecue. But knife with duchad zakina maybe are more chavar. That's not what the Gra says, but you could say that would be the other option. Or maybe it's a special chumra of duchke disakina. Lemaisa, it is a bit of a mystery why the Machaber was so machmir here when there doesn't seem to have precedent in their shonim, the Beis Yosef, in their shonim,
I don't understand why he would say
Because most of the time you don't use a knife on a barbecue. Most of the time you use a knife off the fire. And it's off the fire. So off the fire, why would you need leva? What do you use a knife most of the time? You don't stick it in a fire. So then hagala would be good enough.
You don't want to stick it in a pot of water
either. No, what you do is you cut hot food after you take it off the fire. So then hagala is good enough for that. Everyone agrees. If you cut hot food off the fire, hagala is good enough. I forgot to mention that. I apologize. So that's what makes it tricky. Okay. Lamaisa, let's leave that for now. Let's go on to the second question. The second question is, the Gemara talks about sharpening. Hashchaza. Sharpening it. What is sharpening it count as? What is the point of sharpening it? So, this machlokas rishonim, machlokas between the machaber and the Rama, we'll just mention one or two. One rishon says the Rambam and the machaber that this is equivalent to libun.
What's the case?
Sharpening is like libun. If you sharpen the knife, what did he just say? Remember, look at the last line. Melabna, you do libun to cast a knife. Or you sharpen it with a sharpening stone. Well, the whole thing. Sharpening is libun. Why? Because when you sharpen it, it creates maybe a lot of friction, it creates a lot of pressure, and that's the equivalent of libun.
Yeah, I can understand that if you're taking out the libun, not.
Okay, the Rama disagrees. He is passing like the Rashba. Says the Rashba. He says, no. If it only helps to eat cold, what's it equivalent to? Neitza. Well, that's obvious. Sharpening is at least as good as neitza, right? You're probably scrubbing on a sharpening stone. That's as good as in the ground 10 times. The Rama says, sharpening it. The Mishnah says, sharpen it. We just don't know. Sharpen it to eat cold or sharpen it to eat hot. Sharpening counts as libun or sharpening counts as nitsa. Right? And therefore, they say equivalent to libun, and then you can mutter for hot. Or no, the Mishnah just meant mutter for cold. It's equivalent to nitsa. Says the Rama, v'hachino glachachila. That's the minhag glachachila. What is the obvious implication of the Rama? Says the Rama, lechatchila, we do not rely on sharpening except to eat cold. But b'diavad, if you sharpen it and cut hot, it would be okay. B'diavad would rely on Rama lechatchila, right from the Rashba. He continues, and lo yuchol alav nasakin hate mishum akata. This is a foolish form of something that's not. What if you can't? What if it has a wooden handle? Anyone know what happens if you do libun to wood, to a wooden clay?
It burns
into charcoal, right? So if you can't do libun because there's a wooden handle, no problem. You do libun only on the blade. The Gemara says you like cover the handle with cement or something protective, do libun only on the blade, and then do hagala on the handle afterwards, and then you're okay. Umihu, that's like the handle that shouldn't need libun. The handle hagala is good enough to make some hot things splashed on it or something. The handle, you know, mamish use for roasting. Okay, bim libna, miyim libna velohigilo. Afilu yeshbo gumos. If you did libun, but you didn't do it on the handle. But the avid used it without kashering the handle. And even if it has crevices, it's mutter. Why? So the libun burns away with the crevices, and as long as you're alive in the blade, that's okay. O megilo v'lo libno, v'embo gumos. Or you did hagola without libun. What did the Rama say? But the avid hagola without libun is good enough. Although notice, what's the difference between hagola and libun? Gumos. It's a general rule. Libun works even if it has crevices. Why? Because what is happening in the crevices? It gets burned and incinerated. Hagola only works if there's no crevices. Because Hagola can't get out the food in the crevices. It only gets out the noodles. So therefore, there's a general rule. Whatever has crevices and has food stuck in the crevices, Hagola doesn't work, Liban does. What does he say? Liban is good enough even if it has gumos. Because it incinerates what's in the gumos. Hagola is only good enough if it doesn't have gumos. You can never do Hagola on a cleat with crevices because it can't get out what's in the crevices.
Hot water doesn't go in the crevices?
It does, but it doesn't get out what's stuck in the crevices. And then you cut hot food with it. Lo nesar, the b'diavad, the food is kosher. I mean, b'diavad, you still have to kash the knife properly, but the food is kosher. But if you sharpen it well with a sharpener all over, then as long as the sharpening got into all the crevices. What's the Pshara the Rama says? Lechatchila, you need leave a nahagot. Lechatchila sharpening is not good enough. But if you retzarif the two Ramas, here you have two spadim lahakel. If you do hashchaza plus hagala, and that's mutter afilu lechatchila. Even the lechatchila is not so mechan hagala, you need leave one. Even the lechatchila is not so mechan sharpening. But if you do sharpening and Haggalah, then he's willing to be Mako even Lechatchilah. Okay, that's all we have to say for Simon. Kuf Chaf Aleph. We still have to run through Tafban Aleph, Tafban Beis. Okay, it's already very late for today. And I don't want to do 3 days in a row. So what we'll do is... we'll have to do. Sunday? Well, we'll definitely have to have. We're playing Dipshi on Sunday anyway.
Oh, okay.
But are we going to finish everything on Sunday? That's.
I'll take care of Rabbi Rakefe.
He's done it. Tafton Aleph is long.
Already done.
Anyway, so you know what? We'll do whatever we can on Sunday. Sunday we'll have to do a little more. Okay, there's a lot of nice lumbus. Okay, Sunday we'll have to do maybe a little more Bikias. Even if all you have time to prepare is Mishnah Berurah. We'll do whatever we can on Sunday until Ma'at Uskoluni. And then whatever we don't finish on Sunday, we'll have to do on Monday. And then whatever we don't do on Monday, we'll have to do on our own time. What? Well, eventually you have to get into Chazara. Unless you want to start Chazaring on Sunday and Tuesday. Okay, would you rather have Sunday and Monday or Sunday and Tuesday? The truth is, time is the same anyway. Who goes for Sunday, Monday? Raise your hand. Who votes for Sunday, Tuesday? Raise your hand. Sunday, Monday wins. Okay.